Good day, citizens of the free world, from border to border, coast to coast, and to all the ships at sea. I bring you a warm welcome. This is your correspondent, Jim Tate, and thank you for tuning into the Tate Chronicles. Join me as we cut through the fog that exists at the leading edge of healthcare technology. Our mission is simple. We're searching for beneficial disruption in healthcare from emerging technologies. I'm very pleased today. My guest is Ron Wentz. Ron is the founder and CEO of MindShift. They're focused on solving some very large healthcare pain points by using process automation, artificial intelligence, and blockchain technologies. Ron, thanks so much for joining me and our audience today on this episode of the Tate Chronicles.
Thanks, Jim. Good to meet you.
Yeah, good to meet you. Let me just ask you an overarching question here. What is MindShift's goal? What are you trying to accomplish in healthcare and technology?
Yeah, great question. Thank you. So predominantly we're working on the healthcare administration side, and we saw a need a couple of years ago, and actually I've been working in healthcare a lot longer than that, but there was always a kind of a nagging problem with the fact that it's a complex ecosystem. It takes a village to get anything done when you think about the payer landscape and you think about the number of providers that get involved in care and the specialization. And the idea was to come up with a technology that allows us to get to some commonality on how we deal with the administrative plumbing that happens in healthcare that just consumes a ton of time but doesn't necessarily always contribute to care. And so that's really what MindShift's focused on, and we're using a couple of unique technologies combined together, artificial intelligence and blockchain, to accomplish that.
Well, and let me ask you, Ron, be a little bit more specific. Are we talking about back office things like checking for pre-qualification or reimbursement or moving clinical data? What types of things are you addressing?
Yeah, so it really involves all of the above. The last one a little bit more related to the claim. So when you think about administration, and at least in our terms, we're really talking about billing and insurance-related activities that happen in healthcare, which take up almost about 20% of the actual spending in healthcare, a little under 20% of the spending in healthcare. So that's our target that we're focused on. So what we do is we use the technology that we talked about. We call it CB Claims, and we automate everything from managing individual patient identities and even physician identities, but also then eligibility, patient responsibility, automating prior authorization where it can be accomplished in just a few minutes instead of a day or weeks, and then submission and automated adjudication of claims. So that's the scope that we're focused on today.
Well, and that whole area, and I've got a background in the clinical aspects of healthcare, but I've certainly been involved in the reimbursement cycle of things, and that claims adjudication and pre-certification and even seeing if somebody's policy is still active can be, as you say, not only time-consuming, it can be complex and very manual with phone calls and fax documents and things like that. It's what you have created is a software platform that other applications run on top of, or do you do the whole top to bottom stack?
Yeah, great question. Really, we don't do the UI facing applications. What we do is we kind of provide that plumbing underneath it. So we connect into EMRs or existing HIT systems. On the provider side and on the payer side, we connect into their claim systems through APIs that we've created. And our platform uses the technology to automate those tasks. So basically, there's no real change in a workflow for people that do the work today. Essentially, the work that they've been doing begins to become less. So think of it this way. When somebody needs to do an eligibility check, it automatically happens without their intervention. Mm-hmm. If they need to submit a prior authorization, it's the same thing. It automatically happens because the system recognizes the need for prior auth and then pulls the correct data and submits it to the payer, and then the payer can respond via their portal, or the platform is actually designed as a two-sided platform to where the blockchain allows for using what are called smart contracts, the ability to automatically execute the processes that approve those prior authorizations.
Sure. I'm going to ask you about smart contracts in just a minute, Ron, but let me ask you this first. Who are your partners? who are your customers? Who is it that you provide this technology to?
Yeah, so we're working in two predominant areas today, and then kind of expanding with some strategic partnerships. The areas we work in are specialty pharmacy, which for our definition includes specialty pharmacy, home infusion, hubs, and then the pharma side. Most of our clients are very large enterprise scale clients in that space, but we're starting to launch middle and small market clients as well, because the technology lends itself to that scale. And then on the payer side, we have, you know, the very large payers, some of the blues and some of the other commercial plans. And then we're starting to work with we really don't have any signed up yet, so they're fairly new because the product's only been in market for about 6 months. But we have some of the larger health IT companies like clearinghouses, et cetera, that we're starting the negotiations with on partnering on essentially real-time prior authorization is the one that's getting the most attention.
Okay, let me go back to you talking about the blockchain and smart contracts. When certain conditions are met, then the smart contract releases payment to a provider. Is that how it's working,
Payments are not quite on the platform yet. So we're in conversations with a couple of them. But basically, what it does is that it provides an approval. So think of smart contracts as essentially a series of nested if-then statements. So if the person, you know, and it goes through that kind of sequence. And then essentially what it will do is then it'll essentially write the information back into the application that's already used and saying, yeah, it's approved.
Sure.
Or here's the out-of-pocket responsibility, or here's the patient's coverage. That kind of stuff is written back into the existing system that is today. So we haven't worked on the actual payment process yet, although it's on our radar, and on the on both the provider and payer clients that we work with, there's an interest in that. It's just there's only so much that can be absorbed at one time. It's a fairly dramatic change from current market. So.
Yeah, it sure is, and I'm always fascinated by the term smart contracts, because in one way they're smart, another way they're not smart at all, because they do exactly what they're programmed to do.
The real
strength of them. Are you using with these smart contracts? Is it built on Ethereum or some other blockchain foundation?
Yeah. So we started out with Hyperledger Fabric, and
and
then we essentially combined that together with an artificial intelligence platform that we had built over about a year time frame. So it's the combination of the two that allows us to take on some of these more complex use cases, like prior authorization that has both medical and pharmacy benefits, for example, or a eligibility check for that kind of thing, or an out-of-pocket responsibility. Those are a little more complex than just one or the other. So we really need both the combination of the two technologies to make that come together.
Yeah. You know, one thing, I spent some time looking at your website this week, Ron, and one thing I really liked was even though you're using blockchain or distributed ledger technology, you don't have that in 40-point type font on your front page trying to ride the hype wave. And I'm kind of glad the hype wave is pretty much over. Maybe some people are still doing it. But I'm glad that it looks like 2019 is going to be some of the real use cases coming out and actual work being done by this pretty exciting technology. Have you been finding any difficulty finding people with the blockchain resources to do work for you, or do you just train internally? What's that been like?
It's definitely, you know, it's a tight market for everybody. And so blockchain is one of those hot skill sets, because there's, you know, just like artificial intelligence and machine learning a few years ago, data scientists were and they still are in demand, but that's starting to, the market's catching up a little bit. Blockchain is kind of where it was a couple of years ago. So we do have that. We actually have our own internal, an internship or apprenticeship program where we train people, because we're not able to find, you know, people that might be solid developers. And in blockchain space, there's not people that have years and years of experience like you can find in you know, Python or Java or those kind of skill sets or .NET. So what we ended up doing was developing our own apprenticeship training program. And so we have, I think we've trained about 12 or 14 blockchain developers and anticipate, you know, training quite a few more to build our team.
I've heard that from a number of other firms, Ron, you know, that they find good developers and then just train them in the skills necessary and knowledge around blockchain. In healthcare, I'm just some kind of general things I'm just so interested in your opinion on. In healthcare a couple of years ago, especially in 2017, we saw a lot of healthcare startups get on the blockchain bandwagon and issue tokens. And essentially what they were doing was they were given grants and anything else by selling those tokens, and they're probably starting to run out of money now. And so it looks like to me that the fluff and static and foam of that healthcare blockchain domain is getting washed away, which seems to be a good thing. What types of use cases, if you've thought about too much in healthcare, besides what y'all are doing with the smart contract, do you see that might be viable in healthcare with this type of technology?
Yeah, it's probably early, but we are starting to see some things happening on data exchange. So one of the things that you can do is you can give permissions on blockchain that are hard to do, and we use that permission blockchain Hyperledger Fabric as our starting point. So that I think is going to continue to be kind of the direction people go. So automating business processes like claims and the claim cycle, exchanging data sets is probably going to be something that'll be of interest. We're starting to see some things around what I'll just call in broad terms, validating the identity. So credentialing physicians and managing credentials, patient identity management are use cases. Yeah. That what we're finding is that most of these things consume a lot of time and money for organizations, and the technology that they've been working with, the legacy technology, hasn't really kept up with the need for that. So you hear this buzzwords interoperability and those kind of things all the time. So I think people are starting to recognize, or the industry is starting to recognize, that some of those use cases that are fairly pragmatic and drive additional work effort can be solved with some of these newer technologies without having to get out there, to your point, and do, you know, token-based systems. And you know, you can't rip and replace an EMR tomorrow, but you can certainly augment it with some of the technology and make it better.
You know, I've talked to quite a few people in healthcare and blockchain, and there's some people, some startups and initiatives that are fascinating to me. The ability to maybe monetize your own healthcare records or monetize your DNA data, things like that. However, that's going to take, it's like they built a tool, now they got to get enough people who will use that tool. But there are existing problems now that you mentioned. One, of course, is professional credentialing. If that's not a slam dunk for saving time and money and efficiency, I don't know what is. I think another big one could be supply chain, especially around pharmaceuticals, to be able to track those things everywhere from the raw chemical manufacturers through the distributors, through the formularies, or to the pharmacies, and all the way down to the actual consumer. So, but those are things that, as you say, kind of are the plumbing on the backside. They're not client facing, they're not customer facing, they're not patient facing, but they can. They're established processes that right now are so inefficient that this may be a great technology to address those, and I really hope we see some of those arise in 2019. It's kind of overdue, but we hope we'll start seeing it.
Yeah, our experience so far is just that, and really I think what happened with us was the fourth quarter of last year just seemed to drive a lot of interest in what we're doing around prior authorization and some of the claim stuff. But also in the discussions we got into around, for example, physician credentialing or traceability in pharmaceuticals, all of those began to kind of gain some traction. And I think what we'll see in 2019, at least this is where we're anticipating based on our discussions, is that, to your point, we'll see some pretty good pragmatic use cases and maybe even some mainstream solutions begin to grow that are available one of the challenges that we have talked about with some folks like at St. Healthcare and others is, you know, if you're not careful, you end up with data issues that things aren't exchanged easily because one company used Ethereum and another company used Hyperledger, et cetera. So there's some good work that's happening around making sure that we don't lose, you know, the value of the network by having siloed, you know, exchanges happening on proprietary blockchains. The blockchains themselves need to be interoperable, and I know TIBCO and Change Healthcare are working on that. We're doing some work on that as well. So.
Yeah, I know Change Healthcare has done quite a bit of that, and they've been working on it for a couple of years. Is MindShift, or are you personally going to be at the HIMSS conference in Orlando next month?
We are. We'll be there. We're not exhibiting, but yes, we're attending. It's actually going to be our first time attending, so we're looking forward to it.
Well, great. I'm going to be there also, so I'll try and track you down and see if we can catch up a little bit more on things. I'd be curious to know the types of problems that you are addressing with your technologies are problems that have been around for decades, ever since we've had electronic healthcare and the whole healthcare reimbursement cycle. If you could talk to me a little bit more about what you're able to do with these new technologies now that couldn't have been done 5 or 10 years ago. Now, of course, we've talked about blockchain and artificial intelligence. I'm sure the problems that you're addressing now were people attempted in some way to address them 10 years ago, but because of these newer technologies, you're addressing them in new and novel ways. Is that where MindShift is really focused, is bringing increased efficiency to really old problems?
Yeah, I think that's actually a great description, Jim. And I think to your point, you know, it's not that some of the characteristics of a blockchain haven't been around for the decade. There's a couple of things that are facilitating it. One, you know, healthcare tends to be more conservative in adopting new technology. So, you know, blockchain's actually been around for about 10 years, but and banks, you know, and others have been using it for, you know, say 4 or 5 years. But healthcare is always a little bit of a late adopter on some of these new technologies, so that takes a while. There are some functionalities that you get in blockchain that you couldn't get before. For example, a smart contract could have been created before now, but because it's integrated into a shared ledger to where everybody sees the same information at the same time, and then you add the consensus component to it, and then you add the encryption of data and controlling access to it, that combination would have taken a lot more effort to put together 10 years ago than what you can now accomplish with something like a blockchain protocol or blockchain technology. So I think it accelerates the ability to fix some of these problems. The desire's been there for a long time. It's just that the technology is now, you know, kind of getting to a maturity level where people are willing to take a little bit of a chance on it, and it's got some credibility from big companies like IBM and others, and Google and yes, Facebook and everybody else. Sure. So that's helping to make it more available.
Yeah, and bringing some credibility to it. Ron, I'm going to ask you to put on your consultant's hat for me for a couple of minutes here. Recently, HIMSS released their state of the blockchain report, and some of the things that are kind of highlighted in that report is a lot of healthcare companies involved with technology are not sure if blockchain or distributed ledger technology is appropriate to them. They read articles, it sounds like a silver bullet that's going to be the tonic to heal all ills. Other people say it's just absolutely bogus. And so if a company wanted to know if their processes could be improved, they would probably, I guess, need to go through some type of use case analysis. Do you have any advice for somebody whose company is trying to figure out if blockchain would help expedite their processes in any way? How can they learn?
Yeah,
where
so,
did they go?
Yeah. So I think so let me just talk about, you know, artificial intelligence, which is one of the technologies we use, it lends itself to either an individual company or even an individual use case within an organization. And it also can be leveraged across organizations. Blockchain itself is 98% tied to a network problem. So, you know, you're talking about intercompany transactions or intercompany data exchange or intercompany information sharing. Those are the best use cases for blockchain. So if you're thinking you're going to use blockchain to solve a problem that's an internal problem, it's probably not the best use case for that. But you could certainly use, process automation like bots, and you can also use AI and machine learning to solve some of those problems, which is one component of what our technology does. But then the inter-party or inter-company stuff is where the use cases are going to rely. And the challenge there is, that you're going to have to, if you're going to do a network-based solution, you're going to have the other partners on there. So, for example, you can think of CB Claims, our platform, as a two-sided, to where we have payers and providers launching proof of concepts on it now, to where they're doing these things together. But without that yin and yang on the same network, blockchain network, you really only get part of the value of it. So blockchain wouldn't be your best option for that. And then, you know, I think the information, people are still, I think in the study, if I'm quoting this right, just shy of half of the folks are still learning about blockchain, and they're not quite sure what it does. So I think that's getting better. The information's becoming more available. The bigger tech companies are promoting it. But I think there's going to be still a journey for people to kind of discover. What we're finding is that we talk about the business problem, and then the blockchain just happens to be the right solution for that business problem. That's how we approach it, and that seems to help us kind of overcome some of that lack of knowledge or lack of concern about the technology.
Sure.
Or something, not lack of concern. So.
And I bet some companies just contact you at Shift, and they say, we don't know if we need you or not. Let's just have a discussion. And you probably have to go through some type of education process, but like you say, you first identify what the issue or problems may be, and then what technologies may or may not be appropriate. One thing that's clear to me is the novel things that blockchain technology is capable of is really fantastic, but in other ways, it's the worst thing to use. Like it's, you know, if you need a database, you don't use blockchain. It's a terrible database, but
right.
And so it's really important to do that use case analysis, because sometimes it's a perfect fit, other times it's a waste of time, money, and effort, and maybe a career ender if you're in a big enough company and pull it in the door.
For sure, there's always some risk about taking on some of these newer technologies and deciding you're going to pull it in. And we are seeing that the kind of the low risk approaches, these proof of concepts seem to be the best opportunity, to where they're low cost, low risk, try them out. The same way that people were doing with machine learning and AI, and companies were doing, a few years ago with machine learning and AI, where they did proof of concepts and then those became broader adoption once they saw the value. That's going to be the same trajectory for anything that's blockchain based. You're going to start out with these pilots and proof of concepts that, once they demonstrate value, then you can expand and keep going. And that's kind of the roadmap that seems to be gaining the most traction, even in our business.
Yeah, I think that's true. Ron, we're surprisingly almost totally out of time here, but let me make sure I ask you this question. How can someone get in touch or learn more about MindShift? What's the best way?
Yeah, great question. So there's an opportunity on our webpage at mindshift.com, and it's kind of a funny spelling, mindshft.com. There's a contact us there, and you can certainly contact me directly at ron@mindshift.com, and we'll be happy to get back to you and arrange some time. Right. And we love to spend some time educating people around the technologies and stuff like that. So even if you're just curious, there's no business discussion there. Let's spend some time, and it helps us learn, and we'd like to help others learn as well.
Well, great. Well, you're really in some new waters in terms of the using these new technologies to really solve old problems. So almost out of time here. I'd like to thank our audience for joining me on this episode of the Tape Chronicles. I offer a special salute to my guest, Ron Wentz. Ron, thanks for coming aboard today.
Thanks, Jim. I appreciate the opportunity to talk to you today.
You can find more information on this show's program page at healthcare nowradio.com. And until we meet again, here's wishing you smooth sailing and safe harbors.